Hi, and welcome to the 15th episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan.
Today, I'm talking with one of the developers of GoSpeaky, Ludovic Chevalier. So, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So, where are you guys located?
We are in Belgium right now. We used to be in Spain, in Malaga. We worked from there for like 4 months. And now we are back here in Belgium, where we are from, all of us. And yeah, we are now working from here.
Cool. And how did you guys get started with the project of GoSpeaky?
Well, it's a long story, like every story, but I'll say that we really felt in Belgium language learning is really important. We have three official languages: Dutch, French, and German. And at school you have to study those languages. And if you want to get a job, it's really important to speak Dutch and English also, because I mean it's the international language. And we really felt that there were no method or a ways to actually learn that were good enough to be like, you know, traveling abroad is the best way to learn, right? And we, in Belgium, it's impossible to practice. We need speakers that you actually share interests with and you actually share things with. And so we knew it was the best way to learn, but we couldn't figure out a way to do it without moving abroad. And that's how we all got started with this idea, so how we can practice with native speakers. At the beginning, it was more like a marketplace where we would put in like teachers, and then we said, okay, that's not really innovative. And I mean, paying for teachers, that's something from the past. Now it's something people want to share things, they want to discover things, they don't want to pay for human relationships. And so yeah, that's how we got started and started matching language partners and really creating this environment that could really make people start speaking and talking together in an informal way and start practicing.
Cool. Yeah, I think I joined probably just at the end of 2015. I think I received a tweet to sign up, try it out, and I really liked it at the beginning. And I think it just, you guys keep raising the bar and raising it.
Yeah, it was far different from what it is now at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you remember, but it was really limited to, I know, few people, and but yeah, now it's getting bigger. That's cool.
Yeah, I think it was the profiles, the phone calls, the video, and then at some point you guys added a filter to find people based on their likes. That was cool. And what I also appreciated was you were just very accessible in terms of user feedback, and then it was really nice. Sometimes you guys would launch something and you'd come back to me and say, hey, what did you think of it? And I thought, whoa, that's cool. They're really reaching out to the users and getting the feedback. So that's been very beneficial, because I think there are other programmers and other apps out there where there's just a lot of distance between the programmers and the users. But this exchange, I think it's been really great to see how it just keeps evolving. And
I think that's something we tried to do from the really early beginning. First, because I mean, we don't want to build things and do stuff that people don't want and won't use. We did some also. It's sometimes a mistake, you know. Many people ask like, "Oh, would be great if we could have like a calendar where we could fix meetings and appointments with our partners." And we said, "Okay, yeah, let's develop calendars." And so we did it, And it turns out not to be something people used. They wanted it, but they didn't use it. So it's all about understanding the problems. And the problem that they were trying to express at that time, it was that when they log in, they wanted to talk. And sometimes they were not people on the website. So they thought, oh, maybe if I could fix appointments, then I would be on the website and then start practicing. And that's how we got this idea of matching people online, like directly, people that are online together at the same time, then match them together and get them started like right from the moment when they connect. And that was really a killing thing. Like people really liked it. And now we're trying to build on that because that was the pain. That was the thing people really wanted to do. And you're talking about, obviously right now that the community is growing, it's getting more difficult to have like intimate talk with users, but every day we try to have this feedback and understand like how people use the site and how we can improve. And if people watching this have ideas, obviously they can send it to us and we will gladly exchange with them and talk with them.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you've got had many features and it's great to see that you're responding to the requests. But at the same time, I recognize, like, as a very amateur programmer, sometimes you say, oh, this is a great idea. And then when you go to implement it, it just becomes a can of worms of, this is just going to be impossible, or I have to redo the entire system, or rethink everything.
It's not that easy. I'm myself not really programming much. Like it's more my co-founders and associate. But I saw your website and it's pretty good actually.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So yeah, I appreciate the feedback. I keep trying to new things, and the language learning process keeps evolving, and I also kind of try to respond to what people as students tell me. I'd like to be able to do this, I'd like to be able to do that. And I just try to think of the ways of like, well, how could that work? And I agree with you where people don't really want to pay a lot for the technology. They want it to be very accessible, very cheap, even free. So those are some things I try to work on.
Yeah, I think matching people and you know, having conversation like we have now and through chat as well, it's just a commodity, like, and it will be much more in the future. So that's why it's impossible for us to think we could make people pay for that, because even though it could work on a short term, it would definitely not on the long run. So that's why we need to keep those features free, and we'll keep them free for sure.
Do you see any possibilities of a premium membership, or is that things that you would say, would the community benefit? Or because you guys need to get paid for the service that you do.
Obviously, a premium would be the easiest way. I think that if we have a premium model that really adds value to the user's experience, and that's not to, you know, limit the experience and then get it like, so if it's something on the top of what you already have and you just pay for it, that would be okay for us. We are not working on that at the moment, but something else we might do is like Duolingo style, you know, translations and stuff. That could be something we could test in the future. I think people would really, you know, if you are my buddy and you have this text that I give you as a speaker to translate, and then you can correct the mistakes because it's your buddy that did it, and that would be something we could build on to figure out a business model. So yeah, might be something like that. We're still not working on it. I think the main focus now is our apps, which will be released like really soon, and because we know that's really something people are looking for, and we need those. That's it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like the recent developments with the gamification and relaunching the badges. So there's a lot more, and I think the engagement, at least on my part as a user, I'm seeing kind of like the similar to the Duolingo flame of, okay, how many days of consecutive use, or I don't know, reaching kind of like memorize positions in terms of engagement of what's my level of engagement with the platform. So it's cool to see how that evolves. And how do you see it on your end? Do you see more and more people engaging?
Yeah, I mean, that's a reason for we started the gamification, but it's also because it's a community, so people are there to learn, but also they have to help. And I mean, it's an exchange, and obviously gamification is a way like to measure how people are contributing to the site and how active they are and how much energy they actually put in the community, right? So that's something we wanted to express, because it's important when you start, taking some time to practice with someone. You want to be sure that at the end of the day you will also have time to practice and learn. And even though that's the whole point. So yeah, the gamification will evolve, but it's only to serve that purpose.
Yeah, I think just one of the things I kind of stopped with Duolingo was like, okay, I have to do this. And I think like that lost the point of, well, you kind of create loyal people not for the sake of being loyal. You need to be doing something else to really benefit from the experience. And I think, yeah, I really like the platform because you can connect with people, you have the messages, you have the live chat sections, you can find it instantly, you can find somebody who's online, you can create groups. That's really cool now, where you can, based on a language or maybe based on a couple friends, you can create a chat group. So yeah, you get the best of many different learning experiences in one place, and it's excellent.
Yeah, that's what we are not like. We try to take the best from everywhere to make this thing. We're not inventing like every time. How can we make like the best chat? Well, it's just that Facebook does the best chat. So that's just a bit. It's not copy, because we try to have our identity on top of it, but it's definitely. They're doing great, so we should at least do it the same way,
Or better.
or better. I won't say that ours is better than Facebook,
But it's nice
trying.
when I am on the Facebook Messenger and I'm going, oh, I made a mistake, or I wish I had that
Yeah.
Goose EV feature to correct the text. So it's nice you're in my top of mind of, oh, I wish Facebook had that feature.
Yeah.
Facebook would be better if they copied GoSpeaky. So it's nice. It's not just a one-up with the technology all the time, but it's really great when you get the proper features that you would need for a language learning exchange. And
Yeah.
Facebook is not meant for necessarily correcting people's messages. But in an opportunity where it's language exchange, you're like, yeah, that's a really cool feature.
Yeah, you like it? I like it
Yeah.
too. I find it so. When I try, because now I'm trying to learn Spanish, and when I have those conversations with natives, like they correct me all the time. I find it so cool. Like, I make all those mistakes, and then I have directly the corrections. Like, if I had a teacher, and It's really cool. We like it a lot, and I think many people actually like it. It's a bit not intuitive at the beginning, you know, when you just that's something we're working on, you know, having people figure out how to use the site and what's the real benefit of using this chat rather than another one. But
I was thinking like if there was a premium feature, if it were possible to kind of export a chat history, and I was thinking like, well, if I had these corrections, I wrote this and then somebody corrected it, it'd be cool if I could, I don't know, export that to a Memrise course or something like that, where I could use it in some other language learning app that could take the text or the vocabulary items and review that.
Yeah, that's a cool idea, actually. Didn't think of it. It's a good idea. It shouldn't be that complicated either, so...
I mean, I was just imagining it as, like, if it were a database, perhaps it could be something that could be extracted, or, I don't know, like a CSV file, I don't know, something.
Might be. Just have to be sure that your buddy is okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Perfectly. Yeah. Yeah, that gets complicated. Yeah, for the privacy issues. Oh, cool. And so your background, what was your background? You were in kind of computer engineering, programming, or how did you and Ben and David meet?
Well, we both, like, they are brothers, so David and Ben, so that's how they met. And myself, I met them at university, so we were working on the same campus. You know, it's like this huge university with all these faculties. They were in computer science. Actually, David was in computer science and Benjamin in applied mathematics, so he discovered, like, the programmation thing. They used to work on website together, but really, like, a real project that needs to be scalable and stuff, he started with Speaky. And myself, I had a business background, so when I started the site, it was more about, like, how to bring in people and how we can, you know, grow the user base of beta testers. And now it's also thinking, like, how, because we have two people more that joined the team, so how we pay everybody and all that. I mean, it's at the end of the day something we need to figure out, so I took that part as well. And yeah,
cool. And the experience of launching an app, a website, how is that process? It's you kind of come up with the idea, go to investors, angel investors. Do you kind of need to see some results before you present it to somebody? Or how's that process?
At the beginning was just like, okay, we have this idea. We have, okay, some time to launch it. So in a month, we said, okay, let's use it like us. Fast as possible so that we can get quick feedbacks and feedback. You taught me that, actually, that feedback never take.
That's right.
So we could take, like, feedback from users as quick as possible. And from that point, it was just about how we can grow the user base. We didn't have money problem at that time because we were still with our parents and stuff, so it was okay. And you know, the real stuff started when once we saw, okay, this website is free, now we need to eat, our parents won't pay for that forever, and it needs to be at some point a real company, right? So yeah, we created the company once we received fundings from the EU, but also from a partner that we have now that is also a part of the company that's helping us with the growth and all that stuff. It's a contract we signed, and that's helping us a lot. And yeah,
cool.
Right now, it's getting a real thing, but we need. I mean, the focus is still the people and the community, and the rest is just the how things are working. But nobody cares, right? What people care is the experience they have.
And how many users are there? I mean, it's difficult to gauge how many active users per user accounts. But how do you guys see in terms of the number of people using the website? Do you have those kinds of stats in general?
Well, right now it's 8,000 people per day.
Nice.
That connect to the site. Yeah, that's pretty good. But we need to, I mean, what's good with that number? I mean, it's that whatever language you're learning, at least if it's in the top 20 languages, usually when you connect and you register and just create your account, you have people online that are there to help you if you want, and you have like this perfect match. Let's say you want to practice Spanish, you native French, well, you have people native in Spanish learning French that are connected and with which you can start practicing right away. And that's something that wasn't the case at all when we started, you know, and so that's, at least in terms of critical mass, that's something. Now we really need to scale, and that also means that we need to have better filters, like better matchmaking, because right now if you connect, like I have 350 people that match in some point my profile. That's way too much, right? I can't talk to 350. I can't even see all those profiles. So we need to figure out a way to better match users, and after that, yeah, mobile apps, etc., will help really grow the user base to, we hope, millions.
I hope so too. It keeps growing. Could you give us like about 5 tips for how to make an effective language exchange? What are some good ways to start? Because if somebody says, "Hi, I'm interested in talking," what would be your tips from there?
Well, what we try to do from the very beginning is not to give methodology, because I think that methodology first, it means that you have to do that way. Even though it's good at some point, it also means that it's the way to do it. And I don't like that. I prefer people figure out the way they should do it, because it's the way they feel the more comfortable to do it. Because at the end of the day, what's important is that you feel comfortable. And if you feel comfortable speaking in your native language and only speak about 5 minutes in the others, but that makes you speak those 5 minutes, well, that's the way you should do it, right? So first tip would be try to identify like someone you will feel comfortable talking to. Like, okay, this guy is, he's an entrepreneur. You see on speaking, you see all the interests that people share, etc. You have something in common. So first engage with that person and see if he responds to you, and ask him why he is on the side, etc. Those are questions that, you know, everybody has an answer to that. So it's a great way to engage the conversation. And well, yeah, after that, it's just relax, don't think too much, and just, you know, try to be fair in terms of the way you exchange. Try to answer questions in your native language, like, because it's that person, they want to learn, they want to feel that they are on the site for a good reason, which is to learn. So try to give and you will receive. That's something I figure out.
Yeah, I think those are some good advice. With some of the people I've connected most with on GoSpeaky as a primary platform that I use to find new people, I think even if I wasn't necessarily engaging in speaking the target language immediately. I really emphasize creating rapport and kind of getting to know that person. And as you said, feeling comfortable about, like, is this somebody I want to invest time in? And once that rapport was established, then I started to think, okay, how about we start going into the language? Maybe this person will be a good language partner. But it took time, and I think I also see this in, like, international business relations, where people say you can't just do like a one-off deal and expect to get long-term benefits. If you're in a long-term process like language learning, it's really important to invest that time in getting to know the other person, knowing what their interests are, what their goals are, and then finding common ground of how you can each help each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the basic thing, I think, and it should stop at that. I mean, you said it all. Like, it's meet people you actually care speaking to, and just relax and take the time to get to know that person and try to give them also what you think you can give them, and to try your best. And then I think it's everything comes naturally then. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think, but that's how I feel it personally, and again, I mean, that's how I feel it. And I think everyone needs to find, like, the way, you know, there are many people that prefer chatting, like, not having, like, this kind of conversation we're having now. And I think it's okay if it makes you think in the language, if it makes you actually, you know, have some sentences written and, you know, get you started and actually take time to practice the language, then it's fair enough. Obviously, try to speak as fast as you can, but if you're not comfortable with it, it's okay to wait. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think with that.
Yeah, I think, I see two people who prefer text. And I mean, there's just the time limitations of if you're able to speak with each person, there's not enough time in the day to do that. But with text chat, it is possible to kind of hear a message here, respond there. But I think it's important to kind of have connections with people who you're engaged with, that you want to talk with those people. And as you said, I think, like, give or be generous of, because there are a lot of messages that I do receive, and it's like, help me, I need to improve my language skills, I want to do this. And it's almost a bit aggressive in terms of, you need to help me, and I'm not offering to help you in any way, at least immediately. And it's just, I don't think it's going to be a very fair exchange
or
beneficial for both people. It's not really a good start.
Not at all.
So I think I've tried to encourage people, offer to help people, and mention ways that you can help them before asking for help.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
I think personally agreed. Yeah, I think we've got some of those points covered for good ways to go about the exchange process. And I think there, as you say, there are many, many opinions out there of how to make it beneficial, how to make it effective. But I think, I like what you said, of each person is different, each pair of people who communicate, especially when it's cross-cultural.
There's different
communication styles, personalities. So there's no one size fits all answer to that question. So just kind of figure out what works.
And actually, we are not like expert in language exchange. We're trying to do our best to make the best language exchange tool, but I won't say that I'm an expert in language exchange at all. Like, obviously we do it because it's our product and we love it, and that's the reason we're doing it, but we are not expert at all. Like, I think there are people much more experienced to talk about language exchange. All I have is a personal experience, and from what I know, it's just that people need to do it because it's definitely a great way to learn language, but they also need to find their method and the way they actually feel it will help them.
I think, yeah, that's a very good observation. I agree with that. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're listening, I hope you're listening, yeah, figure out what works for you and just make it a very beneficial and fair exchange for both people.
It should probably work out.
Cool. So, maybe we can finish this in French if you want.
Merci, tu veux.
I don't think it will be beneficial for everybody.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah, I should probably write you a little bit more in French or in with your Spanish.
So you can practice that a little more.
Yeah.
Really cool. Okay, well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. And if people would like to get directly in contact with you, should they visit your profile on GoSpeaky, or is there an email or a better way?
Yeah. So obviously, register on GoSpeaky.com, and you can find me by typing my name, which is Ludovic Chevalier, and there you can ask me, like, you know, usually I answer every request I receive. And also you can shoot an email at contact@gospeaky.com, and we also answer all those emails depending on the email. Obviously it's someone on the team that answers.
Perfect. Okay. That's great. So I'll make sure to be sending more users your way. The Facebook group that you guys actually inspired me to create.
We just reached
8,000 people.
We just reached
8,000 yesterday.
So it keeps growing.
And it's been very much thanks to GoSpeaky, because there's just so many people I met there,
and
sometimes responding to everybody, it was sometimes a little complicated, and now people are engaging in this huge group, and then I'm sending them back over and saying, like, check this out, that it keeps improving, definitely use it,
and bring more people on board.
Well, something we will do in the future. I mean, right now, as I said, it's not the focus, but it's have those groups like you have on Facebook, but optimized for languages, and have, you know, admin and stuff and people that can, you know, curate the content and decide how this is worth seeing and this is not. Because right now you've seen, like, people can post and stuff, but the problem we see at the moment is that there is no curation, so no people saying this is good, this is bad. And if you have groups with teams, you know, like like your group actually on Facebook, well, you could have people that subscribe to this group and have a special topic.
I like that idea.
So that's something we will do, not now, as we have other things to run, but yeah, definitely we'll do it.
Perfect.
Because,
okay.
I mean, if you're doing that, it's for to serve a purpose that you don't find on Speaky, and I think Speaky should be the way to give you that opportunity to do it, you know, mm-hmm. better than on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there are a lot of limitations on... Yeah. That dynamic on Facebook, and it's really cool to see other platforms, especially GooSpeaky, that evolve and adapt to what the users don't find somewhere else, or take the best here and do it better. So keep up with that attitude. And I mean, you guys keep growing, and as I say, you keep raising the bar, and I think that's awesome.
So okay, so Jonathan. Great.
So on that note, we'll end here. But thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your feedback, and as always, I appreciate the accessibility and how much you respond to the user feedback. So that's great.
Thank you, and thanks for what you're doing as well for language learners.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Okay. Good day to you and Ben and David and the rest of the team. So keep things going well.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to this interview. And if you would like to take an English class with me, you can reach me at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. That's HUGGINS international@gmail.com. Or you can visit my website, hugginsinternational.com. Thank you for listening, and looking forward to the next podcast.